I have a question. This morning, I think you said that only living beings can be object of metta, for example, metta, yeah? And also, here, living beings mean that those who are on this plane.
Any plane.
Oh, so you said that, for instance, Kung Allen, yeah? Cannot be an object of my developing my metta.
Where are you sitting now?
Well, I have no idea where he is.
Mm-hmm. You can extend kusala for him to know and appreciate the kusala. But can you metta someone that you don't know anymore?
But I have a memory of...
Just think about that, but where is that?
So memory of Kung Allen cannot become an object.
No, Allen only. You're thinking.
Yeah, it's still not clear. Say.
Okay, just about being, right? No doubt about metta has to be two beings.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
When and where? Not in the dark room, in the corner, just recite. But when you meet anyone or any living being, what about citta at that very moment? Friendly?
Yeah, but
ready to help? So how can you help the person that you don't know where, like Alan, only in memory?
Couldn't that be said the same thing about kusala? You give kusala to somebody you don't know. I mean, somebody who don't think is around anymore. How can you give kusala to them?
Can you do kusala to them?
For them?
Mm-hmm.
That's true. You could do kusala for them.
Like what?
Teach
him or what?
Well, no. let's see, kusala for them. You can do something in their memory.
Only in memory.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that was, so in other words, how can you extend kusala to somebody who's dead then?
Okay, I've done something good. Do you rejoice in good deeds? That's all.
Yes, but
at that moment, it's your
somebody who's dead. How do you do?
You don't know.
He's born in a room where he can.
We assume that.
Yeah. You don't even assume. It's just possible, maybe, no knowing.
Okay.
Actually, you don't extend to them, but you just mention.
You just give an opportunity if
they are. They may or may not.
Whoever is.
Yeah.
Rejoice.
Whoever is there can just
rejoice. I mean, if you don't have metta towards someone or extend merit to a particular somebody you know who's dead, then how can you do some abstract somebody you don't? So if you mention somebody you know, for example, say your mother, who you knew, in case she's around, that could be metta. And then if she's not there to appreciate it, somebody else, some other being is
there.
That could
be metta, did you say?
Oh, no, extension.
Yes, this is why I want to see the difference. Why?
Extension of merit.
Why one can extend kusala, or whatever word, verb you want to use, one can pair metta up.
Just let the other know, the other person know, or
the
other being, that's all.
Mm-hmm. I can understand for living. I mean, for dead people.
What about people who are not dead?
That's fine, you can do for both. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about dead people, though. You can extend
because you cannot do other thing else, only just extending merit.
Sorry?
You cannot do other thing besides extending merit or letting them know what you have done.
But metta cannot be... Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
But what's the difference, Achan? In the case of metta, you say you cannot have metta to someone you don't know, in the sense that he's dead but you don't know where he is?
I think that it depends on your own citta at that moment. Mm-hmm. It's kusala.
Yes.
No ill will to anyone.
And so what about metta in the case of people who are developing metta to the high level of jhana, who then extend it to...
I think that we think that they should come or rejoice or whatever, but actually it's the quality of the citta which can be metta, not only in the living being in this world. Wider and wider and wider, that's all.
But even in that case, it's assuming, it's like someone you don't know.
Metta doesn't mean that you have to extend merit. Can't you...
It's different from extending merit, that I understand, yes.
And without metta, can you extend merit?
No.
Mm-hmm. So,
okay, just go.
I think that you think in terms of being in story, what about citta at that very moment?
Yeah. But anyway, each session we somehow extend our merit to those deceased, because we recite this sort of passage. And then I assume that we
at
are having...
At that moment, what citta is there?
Okay, let's assume that there is a moment of metta, And then what will be your object? What would be your object of that metta?
Whenever you meet anyone, then there is condition for metta to arise.
Yeah, but then you say that no, deceased beings cannot be...
Not for the deceased. Not for the deceased.
Metta. I mean, when that person is dead, how can you...
But then when we recite...
But that's different.
That's not for metta.
That's different.
That's so gusala. May the gusala deeds.
Sharing merit.
And then sharing merit is what kind of sort of chetasika is it? If it's not a metta.
It's also
a kind of giving others the opportunity to.
But it's
so maybe extending
not classed as metta because object is not a doing.
Just like sharing the opportunity.
So it's not a metta, but it's a gusala.
Without metta,
can you do that?
Without
metta,
can you give dana?
Can I have a deceased being?
Okay. Yeah.
When you metta, what will you do? Or when you don't have metta, what will you do? Kill, see, steal. That's not metta. No metta at all. But when there's metta, you have goodwill, ready to help, no matter who.
Yeah.
No doubt.
But then, so first, metta can, as an object, metta can have sort of living.
What is metta then?
It's a sort of wholesome,
gusala moment.
Thinking about well-being, wellness of beings. No?
Just friendliness.
Oh, friendliness. But then, restriction, constraints that you can...
What do you mean by recollection?
Restriction.
Constraints that you cannot have deceased people.
We don't think about that. Why do we have to think? It's the moment of having metta instantly.
It's simple. You can only have metta towards someone who's living, right?
Yeah.
So someone's dead, you cannot have. If he's born as someone else, you have to know who that is. Right? If he's reborn as a dog, then you have to know.
And then you have metta toward the dog,
not
your old friend in the in past life.
Next
black dog.
Thing is extending our merit.
Excuse me. What about if Alan was born a dog here? You extend merit to whom? Or you metta to who?
But when we extend our merit, then it's not metta. It's not a difference.
It's
not
done with metta.
You're talking about gusala. Sorry? You're talking about
metta. It's at that moment, thinking in terms of being and well wishes.
even though, well,
no
any
matter
being,
who,
any
no matter
being,
who,
yeah, so
that's
one's
why.
Not thinking about the dead person. It's
who knows?
Well,
he's not here anymore.
Mm. So can so one actually extend metta, like they have some of these people who say, now you can extend metta to the four corners, to the east, to the west, the north. Can
just your
citta
full of metta, more and more and more and more. That's the point.
Just to more and more and more people.
Mm. Can you?
Yeah.
Can you?
No.
No, you
can
you?
No. But what I once thought about this, and I thought it's not like you focus in when they say in this direction, in that direction. What is really meant is that the one person, there's metta. The next person, you think about metta towards that also. Doesn't matter where.
You mean like a
but
chain
the
reaction?
Next, no, it's not a chain reaction, but that shows whether there's enough metta to have for the next. And not that you have metta and then you're angry at the next person, you know.
Yeah.
And but if there's a lot of metta, then it would be to the next person and the next person and the
anyway.
Next person.
No restriction.
Yeah.
So the point is that when I somehow recite this passage after a session.
What do you mean by recite?
Recite all these passages, which I can't remember. I can't memorize.
All right.
It's too long for me.
You can say anything different from this. No rule that you have to follow this.
These are basically those who were very kind to us, but and those they are not here anymore. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Now in this world. Yeah? Then when we collect, they are sort of virtues.
Only
or kindness.
Those who are kind to us.
Here?
No.
No. Really.
Who?
I thought it's we are sort of sending merits
those
to those who
have gratitude.
Yeah, so yes.
Who had done good deeds to
yes.
us.
I think that's what tada means. We have been kind to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And mean that we are not doing these things out of metta, but different.
Why not?
Kind
meta
of
there.
Why not? You try to separate metta and extending merit, right? But what about having metta so you do good deeds no matter what? In what way?
Because I have to separate, because somebody told me that, well, I cannot have a deceased being as an object of metta. So I got confused.
What can you do to those who is not in this world?
Yeah, I said,
new person. So you extend to who?
I do not know, but there must be some here.
Metta means living being.
Okay.
All right, when you have more, you don't mind. Alan or whoever in any plane.
But John, in reality, if there's no soul and there's no self, there's no beings in
such... Kusala citta.
Just kusala citta.
And metta.
So actually, even let's say I say, I want to... Pair metta to
why you pair?
I don't know. Well, that's the word.
What is meant by pair?
Well, that's the word they use.
They use the wrong word because
wrong
of wrong
word.
Understanding.
That's what I hear Thai.
Yeah.
Pair metta is a wrong
yeah.
word.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why you have wrong understanding. Yeah.
So what word should they be using?
Have metta.
Have metta.
That's all.
Oh, pair metta is a wrong concept.
No, but how can
you have metta not to limited person people?
So the having metta is not the idea that it's just whether that those jettas those
right.
that jettasika is
right.
rising,
mm-hmm.
and it's not a question of who's the recipient because
mm-hmm.
there is no body,
no
recipient
at all. Yeah.
Oh.
We'll use the example of the elephant would like to attack the Buddha.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The Buddha just
mm-hmm. metta.
Metta.
His metta is so high that even the elephant can know.
But he didn't extend metta.
How can just...
There was metta. Mm.
Okay. So we misunderstand about this.
If there's no studying carefully, we think in terms of permanent beings. And what is the power of kusala? It has to send out like radiance or what?
And he had metta for everyone, all beings.
Mm-hmm. And since you have such great metta, nothing can hurt you because of metta, not because you pair metta.
And we can, like when someone is very kind or friendly, we can appreciate it, or we can, by our own thinking, sense that it is with metta, so the elephant can appreciate it. Well, even animals like to experience kindness.
That's true. They can tell.
They can tell when
they were tempted. See, trying to kill.
I know my dogs can.
I think that's controlling.
Perverting, perverting metta, like extend metta to all around.
Anyone like see that? Which is perverting? No.
And most is the meditators who claim that attain jhana and
meditate with ignorance.
So this is a misunderstanding.
If there's enough metta, it will pervade.
By itself.
By itself, yeah.
How?
Because just because it's there.
When now, what's the meaning of pervade? That's what I think my child is asking. When you say pervade,
seep through.
Pervade. Like armor. No one can attack you.
I think if it's deep metta, the sanya of the other person might understand that there's metta there. There's no pervading, but...
It will have an influence. It will have more influence.
The other person might know that there is metta, that person has metta. Doesn't mean
you're
pervading.
You pointed to me. No, I just think, does it mean it's just that there's no limit? The metta means towards every being, just every being.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the basic characteristic of metta. It's not like spreading metta to those we owe our gratitude or we love, but there shouldn't be any differentiation.
That's the nature of metta.
Yeah.
It may arise only for one moment to one person, but if it's not towards someone else, that moment is not metta. But when the metta is developed, I believe that it will arise to more and more number of people. And I think that's what it means, Achan, that to your teacher and then to your...
Anyway.
And gradually.
Even enemy.
Even enemy.
It would seem to me that, for instance, when we say the prayer at the end, like metta to the, you know, gusala to this one, that one, the rising more and more, it creates conditions for metta or gusala to arise from the jetasika, to arise for one. Rather than accumulate or whatever you want to call it out there for somebody.
Understanding metta, the value of metta, is what conditions more metta.
But if we limit sort of pay metta, so develop metta to only to those who we owe you gratitude,
why
then
not?
It's quite likely that it's not metta, it's more like
not only that, many words follow.
That's why attachment is the near enemy of metta, because yes, one thinks of those to whom one owes gratitude, and metta, attachment, different cheetahs.
Yeah, those we, even though we, it should be sort of followed by such phrases as to all beings, yeah? But when we are somehow sort of paying metta or sort of thinking about or sending a sort of gratitude to those people, yeah? Generally we visualize those individuals, you know, who have passed away. Then somehow. And after that, even though we try to spread the same feeling to other beings, it's so hard to visualize all these beings. So we somehow, at least in my case, my spreading of sort of gratitude stops at that stage.
I think that it's like something to do, a theory for metta, but actually it's not like that at all. It's the difference between kusala citta and akusala citta. Only that. Because one cannot stop thinking in terms of being. Thinking of Alan, thinking of dog, cat, and snake, and anything as living being. So at that moment, what kind of citta is there? See? And one panya can see that there is attachment, or there's ill will. So panya can see. And by knowing the useless of having such akusala, the opposite is better for citta at that very moment, because citta is only tattoo that it develops from akusala with understanding to be more and more kusala. And at moment of thinking about metta, the person who's passed away, how?
I was just imagining, Chan, just thinking about someone who has passed away. I can think about his good deeds, but I can't think to have metta for him.
Yeah. Right. There must be object and living being, see. But when you have metta to anyone, you don't mind whether that is in this plane or other plane, as being only, not as person that you have known before, because completely gone.
So, King, you are saying that when you appreciate, yeah, or whenever you appreciate your friend's or that person's good deeds, then the appreciation is not the same as metta. Appreciation is appreciation.
It is done with metta. There can only be that you think about the person. When you think about the person with kusala citta, it must be with metta also, but you don't think about having metta for him or being friendly with him, because he's not there to be friendly with. But you can think about his good deeds and feel gratitude towards what he's done, you know. But you can't be friendly with him. He's not here.
So when you think of gratitude towards the one who has deceased, like in this example, well, it's not metta, it's not dana, it's not...
Because metta is friendly,
yes,
to who?
Yeah, it has to be a living person. Mm. And it's not dana, one's not giving a gift, and it's not sila. So is it? So what kind of kusala is it if you
thinking about good deeds.
Just thinking about good deeds, yeah.
Parents, good deeds. Not just my parent.
Mm.
But good deeds.
Yeah.
Is
otherwise
it a kind
my parent
of,
can be attachment.
Yeah, yeah.
My parents gave me happiness. That can be attachment.
Can it be like a kind of anumodana? Like
anumodana is not patidana. It's
patidana.
The moment you rejoice in the other's good deeds.
So
but not at the moment you share the kusala.
No.
Mm. So
at the moment of appreciating the good deeds of the one that has passed away, it is anumodana. It is anumodana, yes, that's what I thought. It's a kind of anumodana. So it can be anumodana no matter if the person is alive or dead, or because it's just appreciating the kusala that's...
Or understanding the good quality virtues. For example, we should be grateful to parents, right? Who? Good deeds.
Yes. No matter, dead or alive, it doesn't matter.
Otherwise, it's attachment, my parents. But actually, in reality, it's to good deeds, which we call my parents. Because parents, what are parents? Those who have good deeds towards children and us.
Okay, so even if when we recite these passages, again,
recite.
In a sense, we shouldn't think of the story. We have to think about each reality. That's the point.
At moment of understanding good deeds, it's good deeds which understands.
Because we follow the story with the parents, our friends, and teachers.
Change it. You can change it. You don't have to follow.
It means good deeds and...
No. At that moment, you think of good deeds when there is appreciation. Otherwise, your mind cannot be metta.
Otherwise, it becomes very selfish, sort of wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So you are saying that when I sort of try to pay metta to Alan, don't think these things in
again.
No. Don't think these sort of these is so conventional. These as a being and I here and I'm sending
not
a marriage.
Not to Alan anymore.
Yeah. So it's a mere story. It's not reality. So
pay but when it's trying to have metta, can there be any metta then?
Yoke.
Another yoke.
Because you see, at the moment when you say something like you said reciting, right? What citta is there? See? If it is not metta, it's not that what we just say. It doesn't mean they force you to say without understanding of citta at that moment, whether it's metta or not. And you know yourself, because you see that even reciting doesn't mean that there is metta, right?
So it's quite likely that I'm having just a sort of self-satisfactory, pleasant feeling, no? Or self-satisfaction that I did good deeds and I'm going to set my good deeds to those who I owe gratitude.
A lot of that.
It's mere story. So Konstantin saying have to think, or not think, but see everything in terms of realities.
With understanding.
That's the way it really is. The story is not the absolute truth, it's not the reality that's arising.
But I think it's a case of when there's more understanding, there'll be more thinking of these things in terms of realities, not we should be thinking in terms of realities.
And when, if we have the idea of having metta to one person or trying to have metta to one person, aren't we missing the opportunity to show friendliness or help anyone around anytime, you know, this insect or this person or because it's just selecting one person and attachment to having metta to one person.
Typical example would be like when we are spreading metta, then and there may be a mosquito here. spreading
not the right object, not the right being.
It could be like that. It's not that at all.
And when we don't have metta, it's because we're thinking about ourselves. And so when we want to have metta, we're still thinking about ourselves.
It's very much like a general sort of idea of sort of spreading metta.
Spreading again.
Yeah, spreading that. Yeah, it's somehow what we've learned. Like at what Bhavan we used to chant in the evening, and then spreading metta, and all these four Brahma Viharas.
You see that people like to tell the others to do, but not let them have more and more understanding by giving the right words for them to think about.
We also, at Bhagavan, when I was there, we recite the verses about all dhammas being anatta all the time. But at the same time, if we're forgetful, we're forgetful. So,
because not understanding what dhamma is. Like metta, don't understand what metta is, but recite metta.
It's almost like those religions that believe in God just tell you to believe in God. Like this, just do metta, just recite, just meditate.
Yeah, I think the whole thing comes back to that issue of creating stories, because we are very good at living with stories, dealing with stories. So we live in the world of story. But Kusichi is saying at each moment, even if we think that we are sort of doing good deeds, we may not be actually engaging in any good deeds. We are somehow creating our own stories. It's not that, it shouldn't be like that. On such occasions, reality should be seen as reality, so that we will see more clearly what metta is and what appreciation is.
Because these are realities. Metta is a reality. Appreciation is a reality.
And even whilst trying to have metta for one person, there can be understanding of the reality, the self that's trying to get a particular result for oneself. It can be understanding any time.
In other words, whenever it's quite likely that if we live in the world of story, then chitta and chetasikas, we experience the akusala. It's not real kusalas.
If it's not a moment of dana, it's a kusala.
Why do we live in the world of story?
Because we are so used to it. It's how we were trained. Not trained, it's how we are raised naturally.
Accumulation.
Naturally.
Can we say that because whatever appears every time, all are nimitta? Only nimitta. We live in the world of nimitta.
Like this. Sabe dame, anatta. It's just a big story.
Like even a tree, nimitta.
But Achan, that's in the case of someone who's enlightened also. It's nimitta, but Could we say that he or she lives in
what
the world?
What reality doesn't have nimitta?
Nimitta?
What only nibbana? So one can see the difference, different world. The world of nimitta is the arising and falling away of realities. Only that. No nimitta, no arising.
So you mean in this context that
in reality,
an enlightened person would have experienced the of animitta, the right. reality which is mm-hmm. not nimitta,
mm-hmm. That's
and therefore would not be
the only moment which can eradicate defilements, anusya, at moment of experiencing nibbana. That's why just makkacitta only can eradicate tithanusya, tithanusya, vichikichanusya. And then go on, other anusya. Otherwise, there's no way to eradicate the anusya because of nimitta.
Because of it. So after experiencing a nimitta
mm-hmm.
reality, nimitta is known as nimitta.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that's when you're not caught in nimitta in the world.
Because of understanding of the Four Noble Truths. Not just one or two. All four.
All four, yes.
Without nimitta, how can there be story? And without Paramada Dhamma, how can there be nimitta? Many layers of ignorance.
And use the word. Nimitta is a shadow of
like
reality.
Now.
Shadow of reality is still is not reality itself.
Because you see that whatever arises falls away in split seconds, so what is left? Only the shadow of that which arises and falls away as something. Like shadow of a bird, shadow of a tree. Shadow of five different colors, flags.
To me, they sound very much like sanya, which take place at the five sense doors, no?
Also sanya nimitta.
All realities have nimitta. Except nibbana, of course. Sorry.
So sign or shadow, just ways to understand nimitta.
I briefly had a conversation on my Facebook with one Mahayana monk, and very short dialogue. But we both agree that development of panya is very important. Then he said that, and then I said it's the most important thing. Then he said that, but we also need meditation, jhana. And he said that it provides you with mental strength, is what he said.
Not panya strength.
So I stopped the conversation at that point. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So you're saying panya?
People think that they know, but they have only their own thinking.
Just the idea. Oh, okay. Mean that if one says something like that, one doesn't understand what panya is.
Certainly. Those who try to meditate in order to have panya, they don't know what panya knows.
And when there is panya, there is so-called mental strength is there. Sorry to
why
say
not panya strength?
Yeah, so it's really strong. Yeah.
Why it's different?
Panya?
When it's weak and when it's strong.
I think any panya is strong. We cannot say that panya is
like
weak.
Now?
Yeah.
Strong?
There's a panya.
Strong?
I really think it's strong.
So we don't.
There are no different levels of panya?
And there should be. There should be various levels of panyas. But our panya is very weak. But still, even if it's a very weak panya itself, which is not induced by self, is strong, is what I'm talking
not about. Enough. Yeah. You have to develop more. To the moment of experiencing the regre, nibbana.
But for people like you and I, which is stronger, the loka or the panya?
Loka is always there, but we think somehow anger, loba are somehow kind of mental realities which have been bothering us quite a lot. But at this time, I realized that paying more attention to ditti is more important than paying attention to attachment.
Can we say that when panya arises, it's stronger than loba? Not stronger than other things.
Loka doesn't bother me so much.
But when loka is so strong, panya cannot arise.
But somehow I try not to have strong loka.
So
I'm not associating with people.
It depends on moment.
Very suspect. Trying to avoid
you. I do not associate with people.
But lopa is yoke.
Yeah, exactly.
Can one avoid lopa when time is right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like anger. I just always said, you do not know anger arises whenever there is a condition for it. Yeah, it does.
No matter what, no matter what circumstances.
Because we cannot sort of induce anger now, yeah? But it arises when there are conditions for it. And the same with loba.
So there would be more wrong understanding because you are doing something.
I'm not doing something. I'm just sort of laying
out.
I'm not trying to avoid. It's like a yoniso manasikara. Do you not think so?
You call it yoniso
manasikara. It's like a monk's having sila.
Okay. Monk has sila with what?
Monk have sila.
Attachment or what?
Right
understanding.
Monk have its own sort of moral conduct.
When it's right understanding, it understands the danger of do not follow the sila.
Yeah, exactly. When there is certain understanding, it better not to associate with people who those induce attachment.
How?
If there are
we all have. So you say hello.
I'm saying strong attachment.
You say hello.
I'm basically being the opposite sex. Better not avoid opposite sex. Enough and enough.
But how to be like that when one is not anagami? Okay,
one can be. It's not practice. It's a way of life.
It's attachment too.
Okay.
You have attachment at those times. You may not be with a woman or people, but you have attachment to the idea. I shouldn't be there, and then there's all types of akusala still there.
So-called gochara, like monks shouldn't go away at the wrong place, or shouldn't sort of walk around at wrong time, at wrong wrong places. Have to think whether avoid. Basically, avoid. Conventionally avoid
unsuitable places.
Yeah, exactly.
What about that person who thought that he had precept for 60 years or more, heard the pleasant voice?
Oh, yeah.
So you try, or anyone who tries and tries with the idea of self, not the understanding, is useless.
Different. It's a much, much lower level understanding which tells one that one need some kind of basic sort of...
One still, always one.
Because so I have to use one.
But what about developing right understanding?
Exactly.
Not just...
So it's a different sila level?
Instead of straight on, sila, what about panya?
So panya tells me that, certain amount of panya tells me that.
Panya tells you, so panya is someone.
It does. Tell me that. But I don't know how about the opposite sex.
Panya owns you.
Keep away from it. And they are dangerous.
It's not panya, it's Michati.
Maybe. But at least...
Sometimes we don't realize how subtle clinging is.
Of course. Because but it's a very basic.
You
can
be a monk, and then there's the subtle feeling, there's feeling of the robes. Yeah. There's lopa arises, and you don't even think about it. There's lopa. Or the breeze. All the time. There's lopa constantly, again and again. It doesn't matter if you're with attractive sense objects or sounds or anything.
It's the prefix Japanese Mahayana monks use. They are allowed to get married because they're developing panya, so they can do whatever they like. They can drink sake, and sake is called...
Mahayana,
Japanese Mahayana. Sake is called panya drink. It's in those panya, according to their idea. So they can do whatever they like.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that just like the bhikkhus, even if they don't have any understanding, they follow certain rules to prevent akusala, and this is leading a good monk's life. And in the same way, lay people, if they don't have much understanding, should avoid certain situations and be with certain people so that understanding can develop. But... I think that in both cases, it's not.
And it seems like that person doesn't see the value of panya at all.
No.
Just I can do anything.
No, different. Like I do not drink. Yeah? I haven't had any drink for many years, 40 years. And in Japan, drinking is very common. It's very common practice. And men are supposed to drink. I drink quite a lot. Yeah. Then I avoid in these situations. It's a panya tells me that it's dangerous.
Is it panya or you?
I think it's lower level panya.
No. Just you.
No.
Because what is not you?
No. And then if we have an idea that we can go anywhere we like, we can do anything we like, because we have a panya, I think that is a wrong understanding.
A sotapanna's panya doesn't tell him or her to avoid the opposite sex.
My partner tells me. I want him!
We could say, can we not... I appreciate what Tadao is saying. Can we not say that even just on a conventional level, even we're not talking about dharmas or panya, but just on a conventional level, we can say, okay, better avoid the brothel, better not drink, better come to a Buddhist country, just on a kind of conventional level, nothing to do with understanding, but just a kind of like common sense, conventional sapaya, sampajanya, can we say this? Like better eat healthy food just on this level only.
It's you who avoid, or it's panya which sees the danger?
Panya which sees the danger.
Okay. Really? Not I. Can do.
Not I. It's can do. Condition.
I can do. Or I cannot do.
That's me. Don't get into troubles.
Yeah. I can avoid trouble.
So conventional wisdom.
Yeah, not panya. Conventional wisdom.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Michaditi.
But one has to be so truthful.
If you say it's michaditi, then you think, then you even say that observing five precepts is a michaditi.
If it's being done without understanding, then it is a kind of michaditi.
You know, that's why they have only five precepts for lay people. And
how many? Oh, five.
No, no, no. You cannot say that. Lay people can take 8 or 10.
Or more.
Depends, right? Mm. Depends on what?
200 they
depends.
Can take.
It depends
yeah,
on
they
what?
Can take 613. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So depends on what? Depends on what? You know? Depends on the panya of that person.
So one has to be so very truthful. Mm. Is it panya or is I? Mm.
No. We cannot avoid the notion of I, because but if I hadn't studied any Buddhism, then I would engage anything, drink or something.
But you see, the studying Buddhism, what do you mean by that? Because people who read Tipitaka says that he or she is studying Buddhism, but actually what about the understanding? Like sabbe dhamma anatta, what about the understanding? What Dhamma? What is Dhamma now or not?
Well, we cannot have just panya without other wholesome qualities. And one of the important components of the wholesome qualities is sila. And sila,
okay.
And how one regards sila
yeah.
depends on...
What is the reality of sila?
That could be, but it's not some... I mean, it's not...
No, it's the...
And what is the reality of sila?
Kusala or akusala?
Of course it...
What's the value of sila, is it what you ask?
Reality.
The reality of sila. The jettisoning is the...
What kind?
Sila. Basically, it helps me a lot.
No.
Not getting into trouble.
What is the reality of sila?
Moment.
Absolute reality.
No reality, just realities.
Yes, but what is the one which is sila, the absolute
it
reality?
It depends on realities, situations.
Okay.
For instance, when I do not kill a mosquito, and then
so
people
then
surprise me.
Cheetah that conditions
yeah, exactly.
Behavior, that
and then people are very surprised. I do not even kill a mosquito. And
because of you, or because of conditions, or because
conditions,
of accumulation?
There is a firm belief that it's not a good deed, it's a not wholesome
But no
deed.
Understanding of absolute reality is at all.
But if one has that kind of deep faith.
It's the I.
Okay, it's I, it's okay.
Yeah.
But when there is no refraining from killing mosquito, it's not I, it's just...
And Buddha said,
It's
anatta,
yeah,
not anatta. You.
Yeah, just, no, not at all. It's,
just cheetahs that are conditioned at that moment to abstain.
The point is that if there was no faith in sila, or observing, and seeing the benefit of observing five precepts, one would kill.
Okay, so there can be two persons. One abstain without understanding, and the other with understanding.
Yeah.
So which one are you at moment of I or?
It depends on situation. We cannot control. You know, it's all depend on realities. It may be just offsetting chetasika, which stop this being from killing this one, or it's just me. Oh, stop.
You think about it, but not at moment when it arises.
Yeah, it all depends on situation, so I can't anticipate.
You can think of your own citta with different jetasika.
I cannot anticipate, but at least if one does, or if one doesn't have any faith in sila, it usually.
What about faith in panya?
Yeah, faith in panya.
It's different from faith of sila.
Faith in sila is also important, is what I want to say. I'm not saying that
I think that the teachings of the Buddha himself didn't have anything for you.
No.
No need to have him because you think that you can.
No, it's not different.
So you mean that you depend on Buddha's? At moment of abstaining from sila?
No. It's if I put things the other way around, people somehow use this kind of sort of excuse. That is, we can do anything we like because we know how to develop satipatthana, and then sati arises at any moment, so we can do anything. And it's really what Mahayana monks use.
I think that moment of thinking about abstaining sila is different from moment of directing understanding, the direct understanding of reality at that moment. And panya can see that it should develop more.
Yeah. So you're trying to use sila to control panya?
No, nothing controls nothing, okay? No, nothing controls nothing, okay?
No, what do you mean nothing controls nothing?
It's not like I'm expecting that my moral conduct will control me to develop, to abstain from certain, taking certain actions, or it helps me to develop sati. It all depends. But in the point I'm emphasizing that sila is an important factor.
And is the faith you? The faith is you or what?
I still have a notion. I always have a notion of
opposite of the teachings.
Yeah, no, it's ditti. We cannot sort of eradicate our ditti until we attain Sotapatti Magga.
So, how can there be the development of ditti?
No. So the way to eradicate ditti is developing Satipatthana, Satipanya, but there are countless and countless of moments or sort of a wholesome thing.
And without understanding the absolute reality at moment of abstaining, it's not satipatthana, not the way to eradicate the I.
Yeah. But how can one jump to that
no,
moment?
No, just learn to know that even that is not I who can.
Yeah.
It's only by conditions.
No me.
Yeah. Okay. In absolute sense. Yeah.
And in absolute sense means it is the only sense. There's no other sense in that there are only conditioned dhammas. So we think that we'll avoid certain situations so as not to have strong loba, but it's just a moment of thinking that's conditioned at that time. And then whether we turn left or right just depends on conditions also. And so the point is there can be understanding of any reality at any time, because we don't know. We may decide, okay, no drinking, but what about next lifetime? Or what about we don't know. So it depends on conditions at that moment.
That's like my daughter. She believes that there is a being, one I, who can control make up one's mind to do X, Y, Z. And, you know, trying to tell her that's not the case, there is no one. The Buddha taught anatta, you know, that it's like pulling teeth, so I don't even try anymore.
I do not have that idea. It's more like sila, because it's like Vinaya. Tipitaka, one of the Tipitaka is Vinaya Pitaka, and it's also all laid down in conventional sense.
So let's talk
before
about
the monks.
If we talk about the sila in the Vidaya, Ajahn often explains that if one just follows certain rules because one has been ordered to follow them, or one, like a child is ordered to follow five precepts because the parent tells the child they must do it like this, or if one is following just because it's the rules of being a monk, it's not actually kusala sila at all, because there's no understanding of the value, there's no understanding of dharmas involved.
Okay. Yeah, let's think about two extreme cases. One is what you said. One just observes sila without any understanding. The other one develops some panya without disregarding every sila. It's what Japanese and Mahayana monks they use as a context.
They don't even know what panya is.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they can call sake panya.
It's a panya drink.
I mean, if panya is developed, it understands more and more precisely what is kusala, what is that kusala.
The point is that why do we not take the middle path, just thinking both ways?
The middle path is panya.
Yes, in ultimate sense. But if we say that...
No, not just only in the ultimate sense.
Yeah.
It's true.
But we live in a conventional world, yeah? Then we have to plan and we have to think, otherwise we cannot come to go to certain places. Yeah, everything is we have planned, yeah? We have to plan and follow our actions. But that is just in a conventional sense, and those who develop panya or satipatthana know that that is a conventional sense, but still there must be some kind of benefits in thinking in conventional senses, otherwise we cannot go anywhere.
You mean to say, like, catch a bus?
Yeah, I'm coming
right
here.
But that's not sila. You're saying your conventional idea about abstaining from having a relationship with a woman is sila.
Jan, would you say a little more about the rules for the monks and the way of following them?
Why does anyone become monk? This is the beginning. What for? To follow the rules or to understand realities in that life which that person has accumulated kusala enough to leave the house and friends and luxuries and everything as lay peoples.
So with kusala or with akusala?
And who understand the rules, not just follow.
Not just following because they have an idea, have supposed to do this, supposed to do that, or this is good, this is bad, but understanding, true detachment.
The benefit of the rules is that
go ahead. That's say it. The benefit of observing rule is what?
The benefit of the rules
is what? It's what?
Okay. The benefit of the rule without understanding is just following the rule without understanding.
Yeah. And benefits of observing rules with understanding is?
Understanding what
the rules
and what is for.
Yeah.
Understanding.
Yeah,
the
less
rules.
Basically less clinging to things.
And the value
I
of
think,
understanding.
No. Yeah. The I think value of detachment. Detachment. I think it's a key word.
Okay. I am detaching.
Yeah.
Yoke again.
Yeah, I know.
So it's a kusala.
And you're talking about detachment from sensuous objects, not just detachment from realities, and including from wrong understanding.
No, It's like this. You say that there is a benefit of observing rules. What are these rules for?
The purpose is for understanding. Becoming a monk is to develop understanding, to become liberated.
It's a pure purpose. Yeah? Then why one has to become a monk? There is no reason to become a monk and observing all these rules.
Not according to your accumulations.
That's seeing the dustiness of the household life, and
it's according to different accumulations. And you're not a monk, you're a lay person.
And then what's the different basic difference between household lay followers and ordained monks?
Please ask any monk, why does he become monk?
Yes, please. Yeah. Is having a less more opportunity and less detachment?
No, because the answer would be, I would like to be. Okay.
When you ask most monks, that's the answer.
Do you want to know what the three reasons my son became a monk? Okay, first reason, he said, he wanted to gain enlightenment. Reason number one. Reason number two, he wanted to bring honor to the family. I'm just telling you what he said. Don't. You can judge it later. The third reason was, he said he hoped it would make me a more spiritual person. That was his words.
My son.
So it's not for himself. It's more like for his family and for his mother.
Yeah. One for him.
The third one was for him or for you?
The third one was for me. He wanted me to become more spiritual.
That's worse than pay, metta.
And he became a monk before I met Tanajan.
And what is truthfulness?
That's a question to doubt.
No. If we take truthfulness in very light sense, we may have an idea that we can do anything we like because we are developing satipatthana.
That would be right.
Yeah, exactly. So. But I'm saying if we light it, take it very light and light.
That would not be sincere.
Yeah, it's not sincere. That's the point.
What about for the person who is sincere?
So what about being sincere to listening to Dhamma?
Just from moment to moment. Because I've noticed that when I listen to your talks in Thai, there's a moment of understanding and the moment of floating with other ideas, with my thinking and coming back to your context, then floating again. So at the moment of understanding what you're talking about, that I can see some certain level of sincerity.
What about if one is told to practice or develop satipatthana?
I have no notion of practice.
Because you see, just tell anyone practice or do satipatthana or what? See, no meaning at all because of no understanding. So it's not just say that develop satipatthana without knowing what sati is and what patthana is. So that word doesn't have any meaning at all. Just the what you call label or the brand name.
I think that Tadao feels that we don't understand his point of view.
That's fine. It's not a problem. It's my problem. It's not your problem. It's my problem.
We think in terms of sorry and I and the others, but what about the absolute realities?
Would you like to repeat what you said about zero? Your plan for zero?
Oh, no, why do I have to repeat? No, just before I taught Jonathan that, in a very conventional sense, my aim of this life is I reach zero at the moment of my death, mean that I won't have any relatives to cling to, no friends to cling to, no wealth to cling to. So that
sure
is,
about that?
Yeah, that I'm aiming at. And it's a bitch of duty. I know what you say.
You mean wait until then?
Yeah.
So it's like the parinibbana.
Yes, there. Tadao now.
I do understand what you've been saying. And just before you said that, then how about the practice of Satipatthana? And in ultimate sense, as far as I understand, in ultimate sense, there is no practice. And that is the most important. So
there is practice.
No, there isn't any practice we can actually engage, isn't it? It's all satyampanya, which should arise at there.
There's
are.
Practice, but there's no selfhood.
Yeah, that's the point.
But I think that we still call the names of realities like sati and panya. The reality of no self, dhamma, just one word, covers everything. And how can there be less and less clinging to the idea of self? Is that the point, or just live and cling?
If one doesn't develop satipatthana, or one do not see reality as they are, there is no way one can have less and less clinging. And by conventional means,
there are realities right now, all the time, and how to understand them.
It's the most important thing.
How?
To me, let sati and panya arise. I can't really induce these.
No conditions?
No.
For its arising?
No conditions. Somehow it's... No. My point is like chai sati. I'm saying that is a wrong understanding. Chai sati. You use sati. You said, when you drive sati, you drive a car, you have to chai sati.
Wrong.
You're wrong. It's beautiful. Wrong.
Yeah. Why is wrong?
Because it's induced by self. It's self is controlling everything. There is no self. Why can we? How is possible to sort of...
We are talking about sati, and is there sati right now?
If it arises, sure.
But just speculation that it arises. Mm. But at what moment does it arise? Not at moment of seeing. Mm. So at what moment does it arise? That's why we have to study very carefully, just one word, to really understand it. Even that which is uncontrollable, it's not self, it's a reality. What? Just a characteristic which appears now, one at a time. Otherwise, we take the whole as no self. But that's not it. It's only the idea of no self, but not the moment of beginning to understand each one or just one at a time.
So to that, what leads to Satipatthana?
Is what Ajahn Sen said? Mean that there is no self. There is no self who induce sati, no self who induce panya, and there shouldn't be any self who cling to any result of developing sati and panya.
Yeah, but there are conditions that lead to satipatthana. What are those conditions? Mm-hmm.
What are these conditions?
You were mentioning sila earlier. Is sila one of the conditions?
No, You misunderstood, totally misunderstood. Okay, so because I do not expect anything. Any sort of my sort of mental attitude or my daily behaviors or way of life to induce more sati. Yeah,
No, not the question, but is it a condition for satipatthana, sila?
I think as a lay follower, we should have certain level of observing sila, and that is basically a five precepts. So it's a sort of moral standard or behavior. And if we break one, if we have a way of life which easily conditioned to break any of them, then we are not on a sort of a wholesome foundation. And if we are not in that wholesome foundation, sati may not arise so often. So I think it's a function of sila, and I don't think it's a sila pata paramasa. Otherwise, we can say we can do whatever we like because we are developing satipatthana.
That's actually besides the point, whether someone believes he can, therefore comes to a conclusion that he can therefore do whatever he likes or not, but that doesn't follow from the understanding that what's important is to develop understanding at the level of hearing, right? So one listens and one understands at the level of pariyati. And it does not have, that does not mean that means you can do anything you like.
Okay, so use a story, yeah? Then for me, there are two choices, like going for a drink at night, yeah? Or I just listen to Ajahn Sing staying at home. Which do I choose?
Is it you or what?
I'm saying in a conventional sense. And I stay at home and listen to Ajahn Sing's talks because I see a benefit.
And
I know
sense.
that would hopefully induce more sati.
Now, how would there be more conditions, say, to listen to a Ajahn rather than go and have a drink?
It's my faith.
Pointed out, I think, like, okay, in the case of alcohol, right? If we, you know, if you drink a whole bunch of alcohol and you get drunk, are you really going to be thinking about dhammas, be thinking about realities, or will there be any sati if you're just drunk? So if you think about it and you say, you know what, I'd rather not, I'd rather be have my wits about me and not do that, maybe you can refrain from it with kusala. But if you just think that if I don't drink... there's a good chance
would
that
never take alcohol before performing the surgery. The same, we are
never take
but
alcohol.
Who perform? It's not like
performing surgery, and we are like a surgeon. Surgery, like you go to the hospital, and if you are a surgeon, take lots of alcohol before performing your operation, and then you never have that as your doctor. You know, the same. Why do I have to take alcohol? There's no reason to take it.
No, but what I asked was, what would help the arising of more conditions, say, to come and listen to Tanya John rather than go and have a drink?
First, I don't drink. And first,
theoretical situation.
I see a merit in listening to Dharma.
Okay, what conditions... what would have to arise to...
You are trying to pinpoint me, saying that all I do is motivated by self. That's all you want to say, isn't it?
How do you know what I want to say?
You're trying to convince me. All my deeds are motivated by self. That's the point. I'm not saying that. Everything is conditioned. So if one has
a
certain amount of wisdom, one thinks that what's a favorable and what's not favorable.
Yeah, but I'm asking you about conditions. What would cause the arising of more conditions to go and listen to Tana John and say, play video games or go look at Facebook or whatever you wanted to. That's what I'm asking. I'm asking about conditions.
Extremes.
I'm asking about conditions.
We can do whatever. whatever we like because we develop satipanya.
Yeah, but at that, if you think that way, there's no understanding.
Yeah. Now that is one type of understanding. It's a wrong understanding.
I mean, if you think that it's good to just, oh, now I'm just going to have alcohol all the time and do this, that's just lopa. That's just.
But clear. Also, you can say that, you want to say that if one listens to consciousness talks on the internet with the expectation that doing so will induce more sati. Then that is another wrong understanding. It's what you want to say, isn't it?
And
you're assuming what we want
let's
to say.
Let John say.
Yeah. And yeah. What do you get from listening to the tape?
More contemplation.
About?
About realities.
So you mean that in the day you have the idea of yourself going or not going to this and that place, and still you'd like to understand too?
In Japan, there are many unwholesome places.
In Thailand.
Every man drinks.
Yeah.
And it has to be very fun.
Do Thai people drink?
Any place you go, there's going to be unwholesome.
Try Australia for a change.
Yeah. You go to Ireland.
You have to be careful to whom you associate with.
But you have to be mature, like an adult. The mind has to be like an adult. Because if we just say, there's this rule, that rule, that rule, and that rule, it's like children. We do it without knowing the reason why to do it. The correct reason is...
behaviors. It becomes more old, natural, routine behaviors.
Oh.
Not going, rather than going to bars every night, rather listen to the tape.
You mean that in Japan you do not drink? Or do you?
No.
Yeah, you said you don't you haven't drunk.
I don't know. I do not drink at all.
Yeah.
I do not drink at all. I do not go any unwholesome places. Dangerous. Because we are not living in this kind of wholesome environment. Out there, it's a war zone.
What about not many people who have interest in studying the teachings?
Oh, not many people.
like drinking. See, they all drink, but when one is interested in the teachings, it's rather like one who does not drink while the other drink. Right? Exactly the same. We don't drink while the other drinks, right? And we study Dhamma while the others do not study. It doesn't matter at all. People are different. But by understanding the purpose of studying, not just do not go to have a drink, but there must be reason for everything. Otherwise, one just do it without understanding at all. So the purpose of studying, no matter who will not study, but I will, because it will bring more understanding about this moment. Seeing the value of understanding reality right now, it's not for your sake. But
it's not
for your own sake, but it's for just understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
No more you, the more there is the understanding
if there
of realities.
No accumulation, if there were no accumulation of satipanya and faith in Buddhism,
why
do I have to come here?
Yeah, I think that people are used to the word sati and panya. They use daily, anywhere, anytime. But do they understand what sati is and panya is?
Yeah.
So we don't just follow the pattern that anyone talk about sati and panya.
No, Constitution is different. One speaks these terms whether one understands or not understanding how weak one's sati and panya are. If one understands, it's very, very
That's
weak.
Why we listen to the teachings of Buddha.
Yeah,
to understand what is sati.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
What is sati?
Yeah.
What is sati?
Seeing reality as it is.
What kind of reality is sati?
Each moment.
Not each moment,
but whatever which appears as an object of sati.
No.
Mm. Then what is it?
And is it different from Panya and other jhana seekers?
I don't think we can differentiate sati and panya. Panya means that, to me, sati is like, grab this one, and panya is to observe it.
And can there be sati right now?
No, I can.
At what moment?
I can't direct sati.
No, by listening, one knows when the sati arises or when sati does not arise. So, theoretical or intellectual understanding, at what moment sati arises?
When it arises.
At what moment?
We cannot say at what moment. We cannot pinpoint.
So sati of a level arises of any kusala jitta,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But since there is no understanding of kusala jitta as not self, it's not clear whether sati is there or not. But there can be clearer and clearer understanding.
Yeah. My point is that it's important to understand that once sati and once sati and panya are very weak, and that understanding is rather important. Important in the sense it's more important than sati and panya I've been experiencing is very strong, because it's more honest. One is more honest to one's sort of level of development.
And is there any difference between sati in daily life and satipatthana?
Could you repeat?
Is there any difference between sati in daily life and satipatthana?
To me, there is no difference.
What about, for example, sati at a moment of metta or dana, as opposed to sati, which is aware of a reality?
I think sati, which arises by itself, is far, far, far more powerful than sort of sati, which is accompanied by sort of good deeds. Yeah. Good deeds we can do. We can pray. All these things are easy to do. But it's so hard to experience sati of satipatthana. It's my understanding.
Right, so sati that arises at moments of metta or dana is far more common than sati that is aware of a reality as a reality.
Would you say that it's better to take eight precepts instead of five, follow more precepts in life, or just five?
I'm not saying that. It's all dependent on the individual. I'm saying that I'm not saying that the more the better. Important thing is seeing a danger in attaching to sensuous object. For instance, he said that raga is okay. Raga is like a fire.
And what is the result of the five sila?
There is no such a result. It's a way of life. It's one's way of life. Whether one drink every day and indulge.
Do you believe in the cause and result?
Yeah, I do.
So there must be a result.
Mm-hmm. And there may be bring good some kind of good result. But I don't know what kind of result one would get.
And Buddha thought about this.
Mm.
It can be understood.
Mm.
Are there any results now?
Yeah.
What are they?
Without experiencing the result, I won't be here. It means that there would be no realities which I've been experiencing.
But Buddha didn't say I here or there.
I have to use the
word. Okay, it does matter, but we are more specific.
Mm.
Like, what is the result of sila, of observing five sila?
I really do not know, honestly. I cannot say that observing sila will bring about this result.
What about the first moment in life, rebirth consciousness? See? Can it be the result of the observing five silas?
It may.
So it condition, vipaka, the result, which performs the function of birth.
Well, I cannot say that observing or giving will bring about such and such results. No, I cannot say.
No. And now, after birth, what else is the result of such deed? Wholesome deed. Mm. What else?
Expressing
or before object. That?
I don't know.
There is only one moment of Patisandhicitta. Mm-hmm. And then what follows?
Pavanga. Mm.
Pavanga. Mm. See, this is also the result of the same karma, right?
Yeah.
Not enough. So what else to be the result? Mm. What else is the result?
Basically, it's what we experience through... It's citta and cetasikas which experience sort of a pleasant object.
You mean seeing right now is the result?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It can be the result of the five silas of serving?
I'm not...
Or we don't mind at all.
I cannot pinpoint. It's
right. But one knows the cause
and the
result.
Yeah. But I'm not observing these silas, or I'm not sort of...
You don't kill.
Oh, I'm not... Yes.
So that is sila.
Basic understanding that these are sort of wholesome deeds, mm-hmm. and which should be encouraged to develop.
Because...
There are unwholesome deeds, which I shouldn't engage. But because there is a fundamental understanding
and they
about
are different because they... produce different results. So we have to understand the cause and the result.
Yeah.
Because
only absolute realities. It's like giving. I used to give something with the expectation that I'll get good result in the future, in this life or in the future life. And that I realized that it's not a really right giving. Better give without any expectation.
But you see that even the result of sila does not bring any understanding.
Does it bring any understanding or
it
not?
It brings only rebirth moment and then pavanga and seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting. But the understanding of this moment of reality can be accumulated in the following jittas each moment. That's why one can understand reality which appears when one comes to hear the teachings, that there's no self, there are only different realities. By understanding this at moment of observing sila or abstaining from killing or giving, it's not me. Rather than only not thinking or expecting about result, it understands it's not me. There are conditions for giving. And at that moment, what type of citta is there? So, at that moment, can anyone know, even just a little? But at that moment, there is no akusala realities. Otherwise, there will be no abstaining from killing. That's why Buddha pointed out in details to help people to begin to develop the understanding of reality as not self at all. And this is the what we have from his teachings, the most valuable.
I do not see any sort of difference.
But the right understanding is different.
Because I didn't say that. It's me who is observing all these precepts.
But the understanding is not only observing precepts. It is the understanding, whatever appears as it is.
Sure.
Just to put it another way, I think this is to Dal's point. For example, when we are bringing up a child or teaching a child in school, one will encourage the child not to kill, not to steal, not to tell lies. And when the child is older, not to drink. Now, we may try to explain more about akusala and more about dharmas, and the child may not appreciate or understand, and they may avoid these things not with any understanding, with very little kusala, but still it seems that it is for that child's welfare and for the welfare of other people around that that child doesn't begin to drink at an early age and doesn't take intoxicants and doesn't tell lies and gets into that habit. even if that child is not able to really understand much about kusala or about dharmas, but it does seem to be better than nothing to have that foundation. And the same with bhikkhus who may become bhikkhus for not really because they've got a lot of understanding and can live easily like arahats, but their accumulations not be so good, but by following certain rules, it may be at least better than not following those rules. So better for the monk not to drink than to drink, even if the monk really has very little understanding, because if the monk goes out drinking or the teenager goes out drinking, perhaps it's less likelihood they're going to really consider and develop any understanding, even though we know whether or not that child drinks or doesn't drink, well, actually, it's just dharmas, and it'll depend on conditions, whether they listen to the advice or not, or go this way or not, but at least it's an encouragement to not cause harm to others.
And why do we come here?
To develop understanding of realities.
And when understanding,
appreciate the value of kusala.
One appreciates the value of sila.
Of course. But Kunsuchi, you do not understand the fact that how one stand out if one observes five precepts in Japanese society. You really have to.
Sure.
You cannot associate with many people. You really stand out. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
it's true.
As long as you do it with panya, understanding, on the level of sila, and not with akusala, because it can be either way. So the benefit is to know with panya. It's not worth
so,
it.
Are you telling us that Japanese society is different from any other society?
It's quite different. At least here people say that. No, I'm observing five precepts. People may somehow understand what you are behaving. In Japanese, if I say I'm observing five precepts, are you kidding?
So what?
So. There is no reason for me to associate with these people.
If you can help them.
Oh!
That's the only reason.
No way! It takes years!
But instead of thinking, just teach about Abhidhamma, what about? Be friendly. That's another way.
That's true.
If you don't want to associate with them, that's just aversion.
I do associate with them because they're our work colleagues. Our neighbors, the people we meet in the day.
But in true sense, you do not associate with these people. You do not regard these as my friends. They are colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
We do associate with them.
Yeah.
Where I stay in Bangkok, there's a restaurant right down the soi, and so there's some friends that are at the same guest house. Some foreigners, and they're always drinking chung.
No.
And I walk by, and they always ask me to have a drink. But I just say no, kindly. You know, there's still can be.
Associate with the people. Do you desire? Do you have a desire of associating with the people? Why do you come?
Not
here?
To go to drink.
Because you know that you are pioneer. That is far better.
Right. Yeah. I'd rather.
Okay,
come here.
I have a group of friends from my old school, and every couple of Fridays we all get together. Now they do a lot of drinking. I sit there, I have Coke, I have whatever. And at first they would say, Betty, why aren't you drinking? I said, I just don't drink. I don't want to go into explanation why. I just don't drink. Well, now they accept it. Betty doesn't drink. So what? I'm still having a good time with them.
Also, I do not see any benefit of engaging in flavorless talks. I do not see any.
So, but if you have money, you want to buy this house?
But you see that it cannot prevent you from being kindly or metta.
Yeah,
see?
It's a lack of my metta. It's tells me that. Rather avoid people rather than.
I think when it's.
Yeah,
them
exactly.
And us.
Yeah, exactly.
As soon as we say they can't be my friend, that's a characteristic of lack of myth.
Yeah, exactly.
And no appreciation of myth.
Because we meet people all day in our life, unless we're at home on our own. Because the minute we step outside the door, we are associated.
Acquaintance.
Yeah, right. So that's it.
For 35 years, I had only two friends, because I only have friends or I befriend somebody whom I can respect.
And are you friendly to only two friends? Or more?
People think I'm very friendly. I'm always smiling in Japan.
Okay,
they really do not know my true nature.
They don't know how unfriendly you are.
How unfriendly I am.
Maybe they should be running away from you.
Because I'm always smiling.
Do you mind about the others or your own accumulation?
Mm-hmm. It seems like it's the story of Tadao.
Yeah, exactly.
New Tadao.
That's lucky. There will be no Tada afterwards. I passed my accusation to somebody else.
It's a few more
not now.
Yeah,
today.
Oh, what certificate? I get DT certificate and mana certificate. And what else?
Dosa certificate.
Dosa certificate. Unfriendliness certificate. Or lack of metta certificate.
That's Dosa certificate.
Yeah.
When you do not have metta, what citta is there? What kind of citta is there?
Oh, it could be anything.
What do you mean by anything?
Attachment. Probably to attachment dosa. To self is very strong.
And?
Dosa too.
Dosa?
Right.
Dosa. So loneliness, metta, it doesn't bother me so much.
You see the danger of dosa?
Oh, I do. I see a danger of love.
When you really see the danger of dosa, it can condition metta.
Oh. Write it down.
Okay.
But, just to clarify, it's not that Ajahn is saying you should go out with those people who are drinking, even though you're not drinking. It's not that she's saying that you should have more contact with other people that you have nothing in common with, or that it's not good that you abstain from drinking and killing. It's not any of those things. But while living your own quiet life and going around your work and your business and following your own interests and following good sila, there can be more.
No, I have a fair amount of contact with my friends, students, and I pick good students. And I think that if I think that I can influence them in a wholesome manner, then I take for dinner and contact with the students.
Is it not time to pay metta?
Not really. Metta is my weak point. I know that.
Since Panya knows that.
Metta is not your weak point. Dosa is your weak point. Your weakness.
Dosa,
When Panya knows that, then what? It leads to more wholesome instead of still being unwholesome.
Other than associating with my students, there is no strong motivation for me to associate with other
the
people.
The value of metta is a strong motivation to
I have no intention of associating with my colleagues, these scholars.
You think about Japanese in Japan, and what about you among the others?
Associate with them. Isn't that just aversion?
But also different accumulations. I mean, some people like Tadao or Nina, for example, like to live very quiet lives and have very little contact with their neighbors. And one can't say that means there is less kusala.
But Nina is not a university situation where she needs to come in contact with a lot of people. He is. So it's a different...
So I'm saying friendly, smiley, but in fact I'm not. Very friendly.
See, Nina's a retirement age. I mean, I can, the same thing. I'd like to get rid of all these activities I do.
What is better?
Which and which?
To be friendly.
Oh.
To everyone.
Yeah. Metta. Okay, I should get metta certificate.
With right understanding.
Yeah. You should study for a degree in metta.
And the essence is there are no beings, just realities. And if we think Ajahn Chin or Jonathan, they tend to be, it could be like, more, it quite likely that what I'm experiencing is attachment. I should be more aware.
Or object of metta.
Yeah.
So be reminded about the near and the far enemies.
Okay.
Near enemy of metta is lobha. Mm. Far enemy is dosa. Mm.
And to be friendly is the reality which is different from dosa.
Oh, okay. Just a sec. Kunina, yeah? You said that she just focus on writing, yeah? And you think that she's, in a sense, she's not friendly. But she's helping other people.
I think that she's friendly, Kunina.
When she's with people.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also friendly, too.
He's been very friendly these
days. Giving us a story about
non-friendliness. I'm getting friendly. But it's not metta, it's attachment.
Mm. Yeah. You know that.
Yeah, I know that. Mm. It's clinging.
You don't have to try to always associate with people, you know, but just understand there's no, you know.
Plus, it depends on conditions that you're going to associate with somebody or not. I mean, I can walk down the street and not necessarily even
you don't need to go
someone.
Around looking for people too.
Yeah.
But it's actually, I mean, you've been raising lots of very good points, but it's actually the same for all of us.
Mm.
Lots of ditti, lots of mana, lots of lobha and dosa, not enough metta to be developed, just different dhammas, so same problems. So it's actually very helpful for all of us to hear these reminders.
Buddhang saranang kacchami, dhammang saranang kacchami. Panya can see what's wholesome and what's not wholesome. And Panya leads to more and more wholesome moments. At moment of being friendly, so peaceful, see? No ill will, ready to help. Having compassion.
Some people might say they don't like to have trivial talk or something. So when one thinks like this, is it a lack of metta?
We couldn't understand the citta at that very moment. We just think and guess, yeah? Mm-hmm. But at this moment, who knows about one's own citta?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be panya only which can understand correctly.
Whether it's thinking about oneself or the others.
And that is satipatthana. Not just the word. Develop satipatthana without understanding reality at all. What appears now?
Whatever appears.
No, just one characteristic.
Hardness.
Hardness. Mm. See, is there any right understanding of it?
If it arises, if I do not direct myself to hardness.
No, no. This is you who think about it, but not the understanding. What is it? Just a moment of circle of samsara. Without it at that moment, no circle of samsara. So without seeing, without visible object, or an even without hardness, there will never be samsara. So even a moment of experiencing hardness, it's samsara, a moment. of samsara, which should be known. Otherwise, we just talk about samsara, but what is samsara? Any moment, succeeding one another. So, can there be the understanding of hardness better? Not just knowing that it's only hardness. At that moment, there is no self, no one at all. Just a moment of that which can experience hardness. See? Like seeing, no one who sees, but that which arises to see. Only that, and then fall away instantly. The same to the five doorways and the mind door. Just very temporarily conditioned to be. So when you are thinking about metta or not, or dosa, they are realities, but without understanding, it's me and different people, see, because of not understanding. So whatever one is doing is because of not understanding.
But seeing is difficult because it
very, very difficult. That's why we listen to the teachings and see whether it's right, whether it can be directly experienced. Otherwise, one does not get any valuable from his words at all. Like hardness, see. It's not just hardness because everyone experiences hardness. Everyone. But no understanding. But when there is understanding, it's a world at that very moment. No other world at all. And without understanding, no understanding, why it's a world? Because it arises and it falls away and it does not belong to anyone, or it's not me who experiences it. This is the way to eliminate the idea of self by knowing or understanding that characteristic which experiences whatever appears now, behind the scene.
So it, in a sense, you are also saying that when there is a notion of self, see it as it is. Say, if there is a moment of awareness of hardness, yeah, then there will be some kind of notion. If there is some kind of notion of self who is experiencing the awareness,
because
then see that self as just that a reality, type of...
Just another dharma. Yeah.
Because people talk about sati and panya and satipatthana, but what about at moment of experiencing hardness? Where is sati? Or at moment of seeing? Is there sati and panya at any moment, which can be satipatthana, when there is panya enough to condition moment of awareness, right awareness?
Enough, yes, enough is the key word.
Uh-huh.
My level is not that enough.
Yeah,
level
that's why we listen and listen about this moment. Yeah.
And actually, I think that when there's more understanding of dharmas, as dharmas, realities as realities, all these other questions like about sila kind of fall away because one appreciates actually just different conditioned dharmas
moment. It's not self, it's just conditioned. You don't like this time. It's one's nature. Okay, nature.
I'm just surprised or something.
Yeah, I'm surprised with your
surprised
comments.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that...
Never mind. It's supper.
Are we now talking about nimitta? See? Without reality, there's no nimitta of metta. No nimitta of things and people. So Buddha incited the true nature of realities which ordinary person does not know. No idea about that which sees, which hears, which thinks, which observe precepts. No self at all. Different realities arising
exactly.
And passing away.
Exactly.
How long we... You live in this world.
That I want to say that phrase to other people. Many people do know that. Oh, we can live in this world another 10 years or 20 years, 30 years. That's it. Then they are so engrossed with having more wealth and these things. Yeah, and they do not never see how important it is.
And what is the best thing in this life? Mm.
To me, having more understanding.
Good.
Good. I get a certificate. Understanding certificate. I'll give it to them.
Right understanding of what? It should be continued
on and on.
Understanding of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, whatever appears now, it has a reason. And fallen away completely, what is left is nimitta.
Kunzijin, when I was here last time in March, in your Thai talks, one questionnaire, who I think who has a language school, just ask a question, and then you ask her question, what should be object of awareness? And then she said that it's sapavatam. And then you kept asking her the same question. And then this time I didn't see her. She may somehow misunderstood that you are a bit nasty or something like that. No, it's a very important point. Mm-hmm. We have to be very precise. Otherwise, we think that we are just developing Satyampanya, let Satyampanya be aware of.
What was her answer, did you say?
Eh?
She didn't. Her simplicity.
No, the point is that
okay.
It has to be very precise. Yeah. It's what you wanted to say, mm-hmm. but the questionnaire couldn't see that point.
Mm-hmm. And it's useless if I didn't ask further because it doesn't give her anything to consider to be her own understanding.
Mean that when we listen to, say, your talks in Thai or in English, we think that we've understood everything and we just repeat all these phrases whenever some level of Satyampanya arises. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is Satyampanya. No, you are saying that. Be precise. Mm-hmm. I think is what you are trying to emphasize.
Otherwise, it's not the Buddha's teaching at all.
It just reminds me of one tape I was listening to yesterday evening during my massage from Hua Hin. And we'd been talking about ditti a bit like we have here. And Nina said, oh, so there's so much more ditti than we realize, so much more ditti in a day. Mm-hmm. And your response on the tape was, no, does it appear now? Mm. And it seemed from what I heard that you were suggesting it. No, it's not so common. Mm. Ordinary loba is much, much more common in the day. Yeah. But now we've been talking about how even as an asava ditti arises, so subtle and so common that it's not even known. So
we talk about just unwholesomeness or akusala, which can be known.
And that can be known, yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you say no, you mean it's what it appears, to what it can be known.
Yeah. For example, close your eyes. What is
yours? What
is yours? Close your eyes. It does not appear.
Right.
So it's no one can understand it as it is.
Yeah.
But when it appears.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean, it's a bit like pasa, it doesn't mean it's not common, it just means that it doesn't appear.
Mm-hmm. It's there,
it's
but
there,
it does
it's
not
very
appear.
Common and
yeah.
It's so slight that it doesn't appear.
So okay.
Is that what you say? Ditti does arise often, but it just does not
in
appear.
In the day. Uh-huh. Think. It's only thinking, assuming whether it arises less or more. But until it's there.
Because as an asava, who can say whether how much or little ditti there is?
Okay, you just close your eyes and what is yours? No idea yet, right? Is there hardness while you are closing your eyes? Is it you? Yes. My hand, my leg, see? And then one can see that ditti, that it's there. We do not just talk about titi alone, but we have to titi when and where, so that Panya can know exactly at that very moment, not just assume or speculate. Even Lopa or any reality can be known to Panya as it is. So we see that the level of understanding theoretically or in is not enough, because it's not the direct moment.
So we can't say whether it arises a lot or a little. All we can say is it doesn't appear like loba appears or dosa appears.
Or at moment of saying, speaking, is that titi? See, it depends. Yeah. Until then, see, whatever appears and Panya is there, like, is there hardness here? Can there be understanding of it as what? As just that which is part or a moment of samsara. Without it, without seeing, without hearing, no samsara. And in Tipitaka, in some sutta, it just say about the sixth dhatu, see. While each one is dhatu, so innumerable that no one can count at all, why talk just about the six in some part, just to say that without the understanding of this, how can there be understanding of others? What are the six? See, the four primary rupas, without the four primary rupas, nothing appear, no visible object, no sound, no smell, no taste at all. And space. Otherwise, one take it for the whole, see? And the last one is vinyana tattu. That's enough, because when there is the right understanding of panya, and the jetasikas can be known, and the other can be known. Like without Mahabhuta rupa, no rupa at all. And without citta, which can experience an object, nothing appear, because citta does not arise, so how can there be anything appear at this very moment? So while one reads Tipitaka, one can study and see why Buddha stress on the sixth dhatu. In some part, 18 dhatus, just to help people to see the details of tattoos in different aspects. So where is the visible object?
I don't think you can ask, you can say, where is? It's not something.
But it can be conditioned for right understanding, to think over and to see the non-self. Otherwise, it's only saying or thinking that no self, but that is not moment of beginning to understand clearer and clearer, deeper and deeper.
So the point is that as far as ditti is concerned, it's not something we can think about. It has to be known as a reality. And it doesn't occur so often. So
having Buddha as refuge.
So whenever it Sati and Panya have ditti as an object, it's better to investigate. See it as it is. Yeah, so that we can learn more about what it is.
Mm-hmm. Panya understands nothing that needs to be done. Mm-hmm.
And what sila is.
But sila is basically, it's what? Virati chetasika, isn't it? Refraining from committing any unwholesome deed. Yeah?
So, one kind. Yeah, you are
one kind. So it's not, I say that I observe always blah, 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 blah. That is just a story. Yeah? So when there is a sort of moment
of abstaining, yeah,
then we
see. What is the meaning of the Pali term, sila? Kusala sila, akusala sila, apayakata sila. So what is sila?
Probably, usually it's translated as moral conduct, yeah? But we should somehow remove moral and just say conduct. So there will be a wholesome conduct and unwholesome conduct.
Without citta, no conduct.
Neither,
conduct conditioned by citta.
So they are akusala sila, and kusala sila, and apayakata sila.
Oh, it's the reason why you are saying that it's not I who is observing all these things.
Reality, absolute reality.
So whenever it arises, reality. Yeah.
What was born?
Yeah, it's not self. I might commit, go for access, deed or accept deed. We can't self predict. Yeah.
Citta, jetasika. Very precise at what moment and what object is there. But we can say that it's kusala citta, thinking about the others and try to help as much, even they pass away.
Yeah, like I, in my life, I do not have many friends, but I have a few good friends, and one of them is, of course, you, and another one is Kungal and Damodara. So I often think about it. And this is what I got from him 30 years ago, and I still keep it.
Yeah. But whenever the citta is friendly, not only this person, wider and wider, and that's the word they used to say, pair, but it's not like they think. Not as extending, but developing more, having more. From one person to another person to another person. So many people in a day, anyone who's met.
I somehow do not feel real friendliness. Friendliness does not mean that being friendly, but friendliness. Unless I feel that that person has a special quality which I appreciate very much, or whom I can respect. And Damodara was one of them.
And what about compassion?
That's why the four Brahmacharyas.
It's not really, is it really friendliness when it's just only if they have, you know, like some people say they can only be friendly with people who are intelligent or something, but it's...
not to the bad one, but actually that is not pair metta.
It's, I know. Metta is my weakest sort of point.
It can develop, it can grow.
No, I'm too selfish.
Selfish. It can grow, it can grow.
Self-centered. Exactly.
But Panya understands.
It's how I was raised.
Panya understands.
Learning about more about here, considering more about metta's condition for it to grow.
And friendly is citta, not me, and jetasika, see? Yeah. When it arrives, it's different from before.
So it's not particular individuals.
No.
Just include everyone.
Anyone, anywhere, anytime. And at that moment, it's kusala citta. The good cause which will bring good result. And when it's, there is panya, the birth consciousness can be accompanied by panya. This is very important too.